Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of I Stand at the Door. I guess Tuesday is our new day where we release them. I don't know.
I guess so.
It's kind of hard because then you release one on a Tuesday and then you have to produce another one before the next Sunday. And so
it's when just we like, get behind once, then we're just pushing ourselves behind forever.
I know. So maybe we should just record another episode after this too. Probably. Just get it done. I don't know. We'll see. But today we have a good little message that we want to share, brought to you by Savannah. And babe, just kind of introduce kind of the thoughts that you were sharing with me the other day.
Sure. I had just been kind of thinking about how, you want me to come closer or farther?
No, that was good.
Right. Perfect. Here? Okay. Yeah. I've been thinking about how I think oftentimes we kind of view God in this way of like he wants to punish us or he doesn't want to be close to us when we make mistakes, and that can kind of sabotage our own recovery. So for example, like when we make a mistake, let's say that you have a day where you view pornography and you're frustrated with yourself. And so you assume that the Heavenly Father is frustrated with you and that he's not going to be there when you turn to him, or that he's not going to want you to come talk to him, or that he's not going to help you feel loved by him because you've just made a mistake. And while it's true that Heavenly Father that the Spirit cannot be in unholy places, it's not true that he's waiting a certain amount of time to help you feel the Spirit again after you've made a mistake. If you decide to turn to the Lord, he's going to be there.
It's not only that the Spirit can't abide in holy places, but it's that the Spirit can't follow you into unholy places. I feel like that's pretty profound. It's a difference because the Spirit and God think of them as the iron rod. You can think of it like that. Like wherever the iron rod is in that tree of life, that's where God and the Spirit reside. You walking away isn't them leaving you. It's not the Spirit leaving you. It's you leaving the Spirit. It's you leaving God. So in as much as you do turn back sincerely and strive back towards the rod or towards the tree of life, you will feel that presence. God will not abandon you, but you abandon God when you engage in sinful behavior. And I think that there is kind of a misunderstanding about what that means, that the Spirit won't abide in unholy places. It means that he can't follow you. Right. You're walking away and he's sticking with you. And then he's like, I can't go over there, but you have free will. You can go over there if you choose. I just won't be with you.
Right. Right. Yeah. You read a scripture earlier when you were talking about this. Share that.
Yeah. So this is in Messiah chapter 26, verse 30. It's pretty short, but it's very simple. And it says, "Yea, and as often as my people repent, will I forgive them their trespasses against me." And I think it's very straightforward that in as much as we sincerely repent and we sincerely turn away from sin, the Spirit can be with us. And I remember when I first shared the burden of my struggle with pornography with someone when I was in the MTC. I was so scared because I still had that shame surrounding it. And I was talking to my branch president and I was crying and I was just like, I want the Spirit to be with me. And I know it can't be with me when I'm carrying this burden or whatever, or when I'm living these things. And my branch president said, "Elder Paul, like I've felt the Spirit with you so strongly the whole time you've been here. The confession is necessary for a complete repentance, but you've been holding on to the rod tighter than you ever have while you've been here at the MTC and while you've been striving to serve the Lord. And don't trick yourself into thinking that you've been void of the Spirit and that you've been damned this whole time, and that all of this has been a waste of time because you've been carrying this unnecessary burden with you by yourself." And I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. And I also, one thing that I remember, so Bo Buschai, for anyone who's listening that's new, he was my counselor. And he was on, he's been on our podcast multiple times, but I remember one thing that he taught me was like, you know you're getting close to the end of, you know, this habitual struggle when you're able to get on your knees and pray sincerely for forgiveness immediately after messing up, and that you're able to move forward with your day and not let it destroy your whole entire day, but you're able to see it for what it was, and to cling back onto that rod and just start walking forward, and stop punishing yourself and saying, I don't think I can go back to the rod yet. I've wandered off into dark paths and I should probably wait a little bit.
Or I should probably punish myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I should wait in this darkness by myself a little bit longer before I decide to go back to the light. Like, that's just, it sounds silly saying it that way, but that's what we do when we say, oh, I need to have X amount of time, or I don't feel worthy to pray, or I don't feel worthy to do this. And I understand that feeling, because I've had that feeling, and I think you've had that feeling too before, Savannah. And mm-hmm. it's, we totally empathize with it, but it is an incorrect feeling.
Well, and the place that that thought is coming from is not God.
Mm-hmm.
I something that's been on my mind a lot lately over the last week or so is like trying to recognize the thoughts that I have. Do they come from the Lord or do they come from Satan? Because sometimes Satan tells us the truth with a couple lies mixed in, right? So maybe we're thinking to ourselves, oh, I've sinned. I know I need to repent. I don't feel worthy. And Heavenly Father doesn't want to talk to me. And mm-hmm. it's like, well, no, you have sinned. And yeah, you need to repent. But he's right there. Like, the Lord is telling you the truth in that scripture that we shared, that as soon as you're ready to repent, he's right there to forgive you. You know, sincerely, repentance leads to forgiveness every time. There's not like a limit on Heavenly Father's end.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time you think about, you know, you're trying to decide to turn back to God, or to punish yourself, or to, you know, whatever your thoughts are, think about where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. Are they coming from the Lord, or are they coming from the adversary? Because whatever is true is what will bring you peace and what will ultimately set you free, mm-hmm. right? Listening to the true voice, even though sometimes you have to dig a little bit to find it, that is what is going to lead to recovery and for that shame to dissipate.
Mm-hmm. There is a scripture. I was actually looking for another one, and it is in Romans. This isn't the one I was looking for, but I think it is wise, because we've all felt that feeling where, you know, especially with this thing with pornography or with any sort of habitual sin, that, you know, even like procrastination, we can say that, like, that's a habitual, and we can say it's a sin because it's, procrastination allows you to miss the mark. It allows you to not take care of things that you should be taking care of. And God doesn't procrastinate, right? So anything that isn't godly, it's a lesser, you know, and it's something that we all share in common. But you can apply this to any sort of sin, is sometimes when you go through that loop, and we've talked about that loop, it's not so much just going in circle, but it's like a spiral staircase. So every single loop, you will rise higher and higher to become more like God. But, you know, sometimes you find yourself being like, what do I pray about? Like, I've already prayed. I've already said, I'm sorry. I've done this a million times. And sometimes there's words that you can't express. There's nothing that you can say that's going to make it better, in quotations, right? There is this interesting scripture. I've never read it before now, but it's Romans 8:26. And it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that's pretty much just saying that when we turn to the Lord and we allow the Spirit into our lives, like, it's this, the Spirit's going to help us in our weaknesses, and it will, you know, in those moments of prayer, the Spirit will be tangible. We won't be able to speak the words, and God, we might not hear God's audible words, but we will feel Spirit to Spirit, that connection and that healing. And that's where it truly comes from. And then there's this other quote by Brigham Young about praying. And I've always lived by this. If you don't feel like praying, pray until you do. Like, I don't accept like this idea of, I don't want to pray, or like, cause it, I know that there's another scripture. Do you know exactly where it is? That like the spirit of the devil teaches you not to pray. something like that. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know
the reference off the top of my head, but yeah, he like makes us feel like we shouldn't pray, mm-hmm. you know, and that that Heavenly Father's never gonna say, "Oh, this isn't a time when you should pray."
Yeah, where is it? Oh yeah, this is 2 Nephi 32:8-9. Yes. "And now, my beloved brethren, I perceive that ye ponder still in your hearts, and it grieveth me that I must speak concerning this thing. For if ye would hearken unto the Spirit, which teacheth a man to pray, ye will know that ye must pray. For the devil spirit teaches not a man to pray, but teaches him that he must not pray. Behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul." That's interesting too, like that the reason for praying, it wasn't so that God will do it for you or anything like that. It's that he will consecrate your performance, and that your performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. I'm a huge believer in that sort of prayer, where I always ask the Lord for direction, but I don't necessarily expect direction for every single one. I ask and I'm open to any direction, but when I don't feel any direction, my prayer is just, I ask that I will be able to do the things that you, or I will be able to accomplish this the way that you would want me to accomplish it, and that I won't let my will and my pride get in the way of that. And that's the same thing with this whole thing with pornography. Like, it could be really easy to go into these sort of prayers after, "God, please just take this from me, take it from me, take it from me." And I don't think those prayers are very productive. I think the prayer should be more like, "God, I pray for extra strength as I do everything in my power to overcome and to change the way that I am."
Well, and also I pray that what I'm doing will work, mm-hmm. and that if it's not enough, that I'll know what else I need to do.
Yeah.
Right?
That's another good prayer. That's awesome. Any other thoughts on this, babe?
Yeah, I've never really thought this before, but going back to what you said, that scripture says that the Spirit teaches a man to pray.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is part of the intent in that scripture, but they didn't use the word tells. The Spirit doesn't tell us to pray. I mean, he does that too, but he also teaches us, I think, how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying, like sometimes I've had moments, even just over the last few weeks, where I am kind of overcome by emotion and I don't really know what it is that I'm trying to tell God, but that I feel really deep feelings and I have this kind of like raw heart and raw emotion, mm-hmm. that I'm just like on my knees and just feeling these things and like thinking about God. And I know that he knows me better than I know myself. I know that he can see my intent and he can see my desires. And even if I don't know how to put them into words, mm-hmm. that even just having him there for me to talk to, like that's become kind of a new prayer for me that I don't know that I've ever really experienced before. But yeah, like if you don't know what to say, ask God what to say, mm-hmm. or don't say anything and just be on your knees thinking about your Heavenly Father, and he knows what you're thinking and feeling, mm-hmm. and what you're hoping for in that prayer, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of my, there's this, picture that I have on my phone, and it's of, you know, like those boards that like artsy moms, like put like 9 months and then they put it next to their baby, you know,
the little letter boards.
Whatever the letter boards. There's one of those, but it's just a bunch of it's just a scrambled mess,
yeah.
of letters,
yeah,
and it says this. Me, and then
the mess,
and then the mess, and then it says God, and then it says I know,
yeah.
And that's really what it is that God understands the mess that we're in, and he knows. The point isn't that we're striving for prayer in a very articulate way. You know, Jesus is very clear that it's like, the point of prayer isn't to sound good and to, yeah. use many words.
Yeah.
It's to be honest and sincere and to just pray. Because when we pray, we're opening our heart to God, our minds to God. And yeah. So I guess my final thoughts are, I understand how frustrating it can be and how unworthy you can feel when you make progress, when you feel the Spirit, when you are given all these awesome resources from God, and then you relapse. I know how unworthy you might feel to pray, but you need to get on your knees right then and there. And I, maybe I won't get graphic on this one, but one of my, you know, Bo Bouchard, he would say like literally right after, but he would explain it in a little bit more graphic way. But like, I'm saying like literally right after you mess up. Like, I don't care if it, you literally just barely exited out of your computer screen. You say a prayer. And it has to be sincere. It's not like it's not an opiate. It's not to make you feel good right after, but it has to be a sincere thing. And just repent quickly and get back striving towards the rod and towards the tree of life.
Yeah, I love that.
I'll let you finish, babe.
Sure. I just had a thought that sometimes we can think of the Savior as such a perfect person that like maybe he wouldn't really get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we believe that we can't be in the presence of God or the presence of the Spirit while we're sinning, we create that distance for ourselves, right? But I think it's important to remember that the Savior actually felt all of it, that he felt everything that you're feeling, including the shame and regret and guilt. Mm-hmm. Even though he didn't perform those actions that you have performed, mm-hmm. he understands what it feels like. And so if God feels distant to you, whether or not you want him to, think of the Savior as someone who gets it and who is right there with you, because he really truly has experienced all of it. And that has been a comfort for me in moments like this. So I guess we will see you guys next week whenever we upload a podcast again. And thanks for listening.
Keep up the good fight.